Today's shiur will be Bava Basra Daf Kuf Samach Gimel Omen Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shi'ur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We are picking up a discussion concerning a gap left between the body of a document and the witnesses that sign it. On Daf Kuf Samach Beis Omid Beis, which was covered in our previous shiur, we were introduced to a source that said that if there is a gap between the body of the shtar, the body of the document, and where the witness is signed, a gap of 2 lines, then the shtar is puzzle. The reason being that the Chachomim were mesaken, established that shtoros must be written in a specific manner without leaving room for foul play. In other words, a shtar that, if it had witnesses signing with a 2-line gap between the body of the shtar and their signatures, there would be room for this fellow to add false information in that gap and rely on the witnesses, the honest witnesses that signed the shtar. At this point, where our shiur today will be opening, in truth it starts on the very bottom line of Kuf Samach Beis Omid Beis. The Gemara will be asking about these 2 lines that were referred to before. In fact, most of this Omid Gemara will be focusing on actual sizes of the gap. What is the actual width of this gap? It's true we mentioned 2 lines, but when saying 2 lines, there is a great amount of detail that is left to still be resolved. Therefore, the Gemara opens up with the question at the very bottom of Kuf Samach Beis Omid Beis, Ibaya Laho Shnei Shitim Sha'amru, the 2 lines that were referred to above. And when we say referred to above, you can resort to the arrows that appear in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You notice an arrow opposite this last line, and in the middle of the Omid as well, opposite a line where the source had said that if there's a gap of 2 lines, then the shtar is posel. So we're asking about those 2 lines mentioned earlier in the text. The Gemara here asks, at the top of Kuf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph, Aleph, O Dilma Beis. Notice the structure of the question, presenting 2 sides. Is it Aleph, Hain Ve'aviron? Is it the line on which the basic letter stands, plus the airspace? In Hebrew letters, many letters have tops to them, extensions, and many letters have legs that extend below the line. So you have letters that extend above the line and those that extend below the line. Those spaces are referred to by the term avir. So when we speak about the 2 lines, are we considering 2 lines of writing that would contain the basic letter plus their airspace? Oidilmo hein velo aviron, or is it 2 basic lines discounting the extension letters, the need for extra room for those extension letters? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Mistabro Dehein Ve'aviron. Most likely, what we are talking about is 2 lines that include the respective air spaces. De'i Salka Daito Hein Velo Aviron. If you were to think that the shtar, the document, is rendered invalid by having 2 lines of space alone, 2 lines of basic room for the letter without the airspace. Lemai chazya, what is such a space fit for? In other words, if you had a fellow who was interested in forging a document that had only two lines without the airspace, imagine how he is going to write, what type of script he's going to use to fit his writing into those two lines. It'll be a real squished type of script. It'll be obvious that some foul play took place, and hence the Chazal would not have to void such a shtar. He wouldn't even attempt to forge such a document with such a little space. So rather, Elo Shma Mino Hein Ve'Aviron Shma Mino. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that what kind of shtar is rendered void by virtue of the rabbinic ruling? It's that kind of shtar that a person could have got away with it. He could have forged by normal handwriting. Rav Shapsi Omar Mishmei Dechizkia. Shnei Shitin Sheomru. When we speak about the two lines that the Rabbanan ruled, if left blank, would void the shtar, Biksav Yedei Edim velo Ksav Yedei Sofer. We're talking about the script that is common to common people, namely the type of script that a non-scribe would write with. The Rashbam points out that scribes are able to write clearly with a smaller typeface, with smaller script, whereas common people don't have the skills required to write in a small fashion and maintain clarity. Therefore, when we talk about the width of the lines left blank, that void the shtar because of our fear of foul play, we're talking about foul play on the part of the common person, and that's referred to by the term here, ksav yedei edim. However, if the two lines is a small or of a minimum width in which only a scribe would be able to write in some forgery, the Rashbam points out people who are interested in forging don't run off to scribes to have that work done. They try to do it in the privacy of their homes where no one would notice. Hence, it's only if the two lines that are left blank between the body of the shtar and the witnesses that would be of a width for a common person to write, and that's the kind of shtar that the Chachomim ruled is void. The Gemara itself explains, Mai Taimo, what's the reason for this distinction? The Chol HaMezayif, that all those who are interested in forging, Lav Lagabi Safra Ozil Mezayif, they don't run off to scribes to have the forgery done. Vikamo. Here the Gemara is going to clarify even further the issue of the space left between the shtar and the signatures that render it possible. Before we go on, you noticed already that we have some markings that need some explanation. We have the appearance of a double underline, which is one of our series markings, as well as a diamond, which is another one of our geometric forms indicating a series. Let us glance at the outside margin where we provide topic headings and structural notes, topic headings under the heading of Nosei and structural notes under the heading Mivneh, which serve to explain these. So under the heading Nosei Mivneh, you notice the double line, Deos, these are opinions, Al Eich Mechashvim HaShi'ur Shel Shnei Shuras, how do we calculate this gap that we referred to above, that we referred to before, as the gap of two lines? We'll see in the Gemara several opinions. They're indicated by these double underlines with a number attached to each one of the shitas. We see the diamond appear as well. we've written in on the side, kagon. In other words, the diamond surrounds that word. Dugmois shoksiva, examples of writing, shemehem nitan lechashev hashiur. That from these examples, we will be able to calculate the space. When we go into the Gemara a little further, we will take advantage of our diagram that appears under this note. So, the Gemara asked, Vikama, what is this gap in specific terms? Omar Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar, Kegoin, Lecha, Lecha, in other words, these two words, Ze al Gabi Ze, if they were to be written one on top of the other. If you try to illustrate this, and we've done it with our little diagram in the outside margin, you will notice what the Gemara concludes, Almo Kosovar Shnei Shitim. This really accounts for two basic lines on which the body of the letter would sit, the Arbo Avirin, plus four air spaces. Let us take a look at our diagram and see how this operates. So you notice the words Lecha, and underneath it again Lecha written. We see the upper one has a Lamed. The basic Lamed sits on one line, and its top reaches into what we've listed here as Avir, the airspace, which is essentially another line, but we call it here Avir, space. The Chof sits on the same line as the basic Lamed does, but it has a leg extending downwards into another Avir. We want to have a situation, according to Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar, a situation which would be ripe for forgery, in his opinion, would be a situation where the fellow would be able to write another Lecha underneath, and of course other words with these possibilities involved. What happens in that case? So you see the Banim Lecha, once again the Lamed and the basic part of the Chof sit on, it's called in our diagram Shin, but that refers to the Shita, to the basic line, and the top of the bottom Aleph extends into an airspace. And according to this opinion, we want a situation where the Lamed extending into its airspace will not interfere with the leg of the final Chof, which extends into its airspace. Hence, this will account for an additional airspace. And likewise, the lower Lecha Chof, the final Chof, has its leg that it extends down into its airspace. So when you total up the number of lines and airspaces, you will find that the gap that will render the shtar void is a rather extensive gap, in so far as that it contains two basic lines plus four airspaces, and you can see that very clearly on our diagram. The next opinion, and we'll be following with the diagram as we go along, the next opinion, number two, Rav Chiya bar Ami, Mishmei de'ula Omar, Kegoin, for example, what is the example he offers for the gap that would render the shtar void? Lamed milamala, what appears as an abbreviated expression is really a reference to the letter Lamed milamala, v'chof milamata. So as you look on the diagram, in our diagram we're essentially following the commentary that's found in the Rashbam. The Rashbam portrays a situation where we have in our diagram an asterisk that will help you relate to where this is taken from in the Rashbam. There's a Rashbam on the lower part of the narrow lines that mentions halamid hatachtoino mikeneged regel chof ha'elyona, and that's what we've illustrated using the diagram. But as far as the calculation is concerned, the shita number two here, Rav Chiya bar Ami, he makes reference to a lamid above and a chof from below, and if you calculate the air spaces and the lines, almo kosovar, the final tally is shnei shitim, two lines, ushloisha avirin, and three air spaces. What we've done on our diagram is we've used the example that the Rashbam offered, indicating a final chaf on the upper line, and its leg extending into an airspace. And then the bottom lamed sitting on its own line with its own airspace, and the allowance for an airspace between the two letters so as to leave room for a person's hand to maneuver a little more freely. In other words, this would be considered his opinion of what normal writing would involve. We continue in the Gemara with a third opinion. Rabbi Avo Omar, what is the space that would render a shtar void? Kegoin Boruch ben Levi b'shito achas. If a person would write that out, these words or this name, Boruch ben Levi, on one line, and if you tally that up, you'll find out Kosavar shito achas u'shnei avirin. It's a basic one line for writing and two air spaces. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. We have a bowtie form. This necessitates our glancing over at the outside margin. You see the topic heading with the Mivneh, the Nosei Mivneh, and the bowtie form featured. Shnei Deos Borevach Shemuter Bein Hoedim La'asharso. We're going to present two opinions. One is over here, Rav, and number two will be on Omid Beis. And if you can find the bowtie form by flipping over the page or scrolling down to Omid Beis, you'll notice five lines from the top, Rabbi Yochanan appears, and he is our number two opinion. The opinions concern the space that is allowed between Bein Ho'edim La'asharso, that means between the witnesses, and the court certification. Underneath the witnesses, at times, when documents are brought into court for signature verification, the dayonim that are present, the judges that are present at this point when the signatures are verified, they assign their names to this, three names, known as a henpek in other places. Here we refer to it as asharso, asharso the daini, literally the strength of the court, of the judges. This refers to the court certification. We've spoken about allowed gaps between witnesses and body of shtar. These opinions will be addressing not only that, but addressing gaps between the signatures of the witnesses and the court certification. When one sees a court certification, that assures him that the signatures are valid signatures, and generally speaking, once one sees the court certification, he doesn't investigate into the validity of the shtar any further. Omar Rav, Loi Shonu, Elo, Bein Edim Luxav. The teaching that two lines of gap render the document void is only when we're talking about a gap between the witnesses and the body of the shtar. Avol, Bein Edim La'asharso. When talking about a gap between witnesses and the court certification, which appears lower, afilu tuva, nami kosher, even more than two lines, will be okay. The Gemara asks, Maishna bein edim liksav. Why is it that between the witnesses and the body of the shtar, dilma mezayef because of maideboi, we are fearful that a person, if there's a gap of two lines, a person will forge information in that space, v'chasimi sadi, and he already has the witnesses there, and he would be able to get away with things that they never signed on. Bein edim la'ashar sonami, when you allow for a gap between the witnesses and the court certification, there is also the fear, nami mizayif v'kosav, my deboi, v'chasimi sadi, that he will write in whatever he wants into that gap, and lo and behold, he has witnesses that, and he'll be able to sign witnesses, and he has underneath that, he has the court certification. So the Gemara answers, Demetayitle, the gap between the witnesses and the court certification, he will dot with ink. He'll cover the area with dots. And when we speak about a gap between the witnesses and the court certification, we are not talking about blank paper, but that that area is dotted, filled with dots of ink. Ihochi, if that be the case, bein edim l'shtar, nami mitayet lei, why not allow a gap of two lines or more between the witnesses and the body of the shtar, and allow such a shtar by having the gap dotted? Amri, the answer to that is Sa'adi atyuta hu dechasimi. People will say that the witnesses signed the dots, namely that they signed ascertaining that the document was dotted, and their signatures wouldn't correspond whatsoever to the body of the shtar. In other words, the signatures on such a document whereby there's a body of a shtar, then there's a section full of dots, and then witnesses signing, people would say the witnesses signed ascertaining that there are dots, not paying any attention to the rest of the document. The Gemara asks, "Bein edim lashar so nami amri." If that be the case, so if you have a space between the witnesses and the court certification, people will also say, "Beidino atyutahu dechasimi." The Beis Din signed their certification, certifying that the document has dots. So the Gemara answers, "Beidino, a court are composed of people that are knowledgeable, as opposed to witnesses who come from the public." And being that that's the case, Dayonim, judges, would not sign Atyuto Lo Chasimi. They wouldn't sign regarding dots. They would look into the entire document and understand that they are not called upon to sign regarding dots. As opposed to the case of witnesses who are commoners, the Rashbam quotes another Gemara where if you have a shtar, a document in which a transaction is recorded, and at the end of the transaction, the fellow preparing the shtar indicates, "Please send my regards to so-and-so." And then after that, after the sent regards, the witnesses sign, that shtar also will not be valid because there is a fear that the witnesses are signing their names to the sent regards and not to the rest of the shtar. Hence we see witnesses are suspect, so to speak, of signing with limited attention paid to what's going on. Hence, if they have dots above their names, we will suspect that they, witnesses, signed regarding the dots and not regarding the body of the shtar. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice another geometric form with a long marking next to it in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, namely to the left-hand side of the text, a long kuf kushia. There's a note on the outside margin, mivne velechush. Notice that the word velechush is contained in this volcano shape. Kushia al ze sherav matir revach godol bein ho'edim la'sharsa. We're going to raise a question on Rav's allowing this large gap between the witnesses and the court certification. The reason we've used this marking is because a similar type of question will be raised when we get to Amud Beis, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan and his presentation. The Gemara starts its long question, which you can see by the marking, lasts till the third line on Amud Beis. Once you've said that we will allow to have a gap between the court certification and the witnesses, and we're not fearful that he's going to fill in forged information in that area because we will fill it with dots. Velechush, but still, is there not room to suspect the following? Dilma, gayez le le'ila, that this fellow will cut off the body of the shtar, including the witnesses, umachik le letuta, and he'll be left with a piece of paper that has dots on it and a court certification, and he'll then machik le letuta, he'll erase the dots, v'kosav mai deboi, and he'll then write in the erased section whatever he wants, umachtim sahadi, and he'll fake witnesses, he'll fake their signatures, and he'll rely on the fact that there is a real court certification underneath that would verify these phony signatures. The Omar Rav, and furthermore, Rav says, Shtar habo hu v'edov al hamechak kosher, that a document, the body of a document with witnesses that are both written on erased paper is okay. And with this, he will be able to get away with a forgery. So how could it be that Rav above allows a gap between court certification and witnesses based on the dotting that will take place? As we've just said, that situation creates room for further suspicion. The basic question has been raised. We have parentheses, we have brackets here. These brackets are not designed necessarily for skipping, but designed to show that the basic question has ended over here. If one does skip to the section after the brackets, the Gemara there presents the answer. And what we'll do is we can read the answer first and then go over the Gemara again. Kosovar, Rav will hold kol ki hai gavno, any shtar that has an asharsa, has a court certification, and the body of the shtar and the witnesses have signed on that which is erased, ein mekaymen oisoi min ha'asharsa shebo. In such a case, we will not pay attention to the court certification. Elo minho edim shebo. We will insist on an additional verification of those witnesses. And if he forged their signatures, we'll catch his foul play. Let's go over the Gemara again, because we have the bracketed section that we must deal with. We raised a question. On the one hand, Rav said we'll make an allowance for a gap between witnesses and court certification, and we said there is no fear of his filling in that gap because we will fill it with dots, and only then do we say that the gap was permissible. How can Rav allow that when Rav has another halacha that says that a shtar whose body and witnesses appear on an erased section of paper, that such a document is valid? If being that Rav holds that way, he could cut off the body of the shtar with its witnesses. He then would proceed to erase the second piece of paper that he has, the section with the dots on it and the court certification, erase the dots, fill in his own forged information, forge witnesses' signature, and he has a court certification underneath. So the Gemara answers. The Gemara responds to this and says, this fear would not arise, honicha l'Rav Kahana, this fear would not arise according to within Rav, demasni lo mishmei d'Shmuel Shapir, that according to Rav Kahana's version, hu v'edov al hamechak, that allowance as being kosher is only taught according to Shmuel. Therefore, according to Rav himself, hu v'edov al hamechak, if you have witnesses and the body of the shtar that appears on an erased section, Rav himself would say that's posel. That's not acceptable in the first place. Hence, there would be no problem in Rav allowing for a gap to appear between the court certification and the witnesses above. Fill in the dots. If a guy's going to come along and erase the dots and fill in forged information with new witnesses, we will say such a shtar is puzzle. The Gemara goes on. Elo l'Rav Tivyumi demasni lo mishmei d'Rav ma'iko l'meimar. But according to Rav Tivyumi, who teaches that din of hu v'edov al hamachak as being kosher, then ma'iko l'meimar. What are you going to say? The question comes back. How can we rely on the dotting solution to allow for that gap between the witnesses and the court certification? So the Gemara answered, as we saw before, we'll read it again, Kosovar, Rav will hold, Kol ki hai davno, whenever you have a situation of hu v'edov al hamechak, and a court certification underneath that, ein mekaymen oso min ho ashar so shebo, we will not certify the validity of the document through the court certification that appears, elo min ho edim shebo, but rather from the witnesses that are in the document. And of course, if he forged the witnesses, he'll be caught on the spot. As we go on in the Gemara, we see Rabbi Yochanan's name that is featured in a bow tie. Let us glance at the outside margin, even though we've already explained the reason for the bow tie, because this is a second opinion concerning the gap between witnesses and court certification. However, we have a note here on the outside margin under the Nosei heading Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, Be'inyon ho'revach bein ho'edim v'ashar. So we're going to focus on Rabbi Yochanan's opinion regarding the gap between witnesses and the court certification. And he will say, afilu shito achas posel, even one line will not be acceptable. In other words, if you have the court, the shtar, the basic document, plus the witnesses that sign under the basic document, and then one line of gap, and then the court certification, such a shtar will be considered posel, invalid. Let us continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, lo shanu, elo, bein ho'edim liksav. We taught the halacha that two rows of non-writing of gap, it renders the shtar invalid. That's with regard to the space between the witnesses and the body of the shtar. Avol bein edim la'asharsa. However, between the witnesses and the court certification, afilu shito achas nami posel, even one line will be considered invalid. The document will be rendered invalid. The Gemara asks, my shno bein edim la'asharsa. Why is it that between the witnesses and the court certification that there is a problem? Dilmo gayez li'iloi. He might cut off the upper part, the part of the document that ends at the point of the edim. And as we said, if he has the document ending with the edim, and then after the edim, a row of one line of blank, v'kosav hu v'edov b'shito achas, and then he will go and write a document content, information saying that he extended a loan to someone and someone owes him money, which is all false, and forge signatures on the same line. That's what the Gemara says here. Because of who? The aid of Beshito Achas. V'kosovar. Shtar habo hu the aid of Beshito Achas kosher. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that such a shtar, if you had a regular shtar coming with the information and the witnesses on one line, that would be considered a real shtar, a real document. If that be the case, then ihochi, then bein edim liksav nami, you who allowed a space between the witnesses and the body of the shtar, you allowed a space of under two lines. In other words, one line of space is allowed. Why do you allow one space between the body of the shtar and the witnesses? The same type of foul play could be described. Nami dilmo gayez le'iloi, he might cut off the body of the shtar, then leaving a space of one line, or a space of under two lines, less than two lines, which is kosher, because of my deboi, and he'll write in that space whatever he wants, v'chasimi sadi, and he has witnesses that appear below it. The Gemara says, I'm not worried about that situation. Kosovar shtar habo hu b'shito achas. The edof b'shito acheres posel. Because Rav Yochanan will hold that a document whose content is on one line and the witnesses are on the line beneath it, that is an unacceptable document. Before we go on, it might be helpful to see what is actually taking place by glancing at the diagram that we've provided in the margin. This is a diagram of, he might cut off the upper part of the document, including the witnesses, with the one line left blank above the court certification, which Rabbi Yochanan said is not acceptable. And why is it not acceptable? It's, as you can see from our diagram, where he cuts the document right under the witness's name, leaving a Shura Achas Reik, where we have the lower arrow pointing to Shura Achas Reik. He would fill in information and have and sign forged signatures there. And under that, he's got the court Ashar, so the court certification. Rabbi Yochanan said that's not acceptable because of the halacha that hu v'edo b'shita achas is kosher, and he would be able to practice foul play. The Gemara then raised the question, well, if you allow a space of under two lines between the body of the shtar and the witnesses, is there not room for foul play also? And that you can see on the same diagram, in that case, he would cut off the upper part, the shtar part, leaving the gap of a line, and then the witnesses, and in that line, the Gemara said he would fill in false information and rely on the witnesses that are already there. So to that, the Gemara answered, that would be a case of hu b'shito achas, the edo b'shito achires. And that, the Gemara just said, was not kosher in the first place. Hence, we're not worried about something like that happening. The Gemara asks, v'lechush dilmo, kosav hu v'edov b'shito achas. Why not suspect that in the case of the fellow who cuts off the shtar and leaves a space of one line, and then under that space of one line, he has the witnesses that signed legitimately beforehand. If he cuts off the body of the shtar that's in the upper section, and then leaves that one space, that one line of space, he could write in his false information on that one line, and on that same line forge signatures, and as far as the witnesses that sign below, he could simply say that he had them sign because he wanted extra witnesses. He wanted to be marbe chasimois. Not only that, but it could be explained that he could fill in false information and have witnesses sign that false information. And if they ask him, well, what do you have signing for? You've got other witnesses here. They say, oh, I just wanted to add witnesses. So the Gemara says here, Kosovar, kol ki hai gavno. If you have a situation like that where a fellow fills in that one line and forges signatures on that line, and then if we ask him, what are you doing with these extra witnesses here, and he tries to say, oh, I was just trying to add witnesses, the Gemara answers, Kosovar kol ki hai gavno, ein mekaimeno somino edim shilmata. We will not verify the document by the witnesses that signed underneath, the lower witnesses, elomino edim shelamala, but rather from the witnesses above, namely the witnesses that he tried to forge. And if he forged them, he'll be caught on the spot. At this point, I would like to read the Gemara again from the volcano marking for the sake of continuity. V'lechush dilmo kosav hu v'edov b'shito achas. Is there not room to concern ourselves with his cutting off the shtar from the top and leaving the one line gap and witnesses intact, and he would write in on that blank line information, false information, and forge witnesses on that one line. And when we ask him, what are you doing with so many witnesses? He will say back to us, oh, I just wanted to have more witnesses to give greater strength to the shtar. Is there not room for this kind of foul play? So we answer, Kosovar, call ki hai gavno, if anyone tries to do that, anything like this, ein mekaimeno somino edim shelamato, we don't verify based on the lower witnesses who in fact were legitimate witnesses, elomino edim shelamalo, but rather from the witnesses that were above, namely those that he tried to forge, and we'll catch him. At this point, we conclude our shiur.